One announcement. A family of the church needs help with meals. If you would like to make that application, contact Stephanie, please. Okay. All right, let's approach this as we're supposed to, in fellowship. We're talking about eternal security, your most valuable gift, bar none, the thing you have going for you that delivers you from eternal wrath and puts you in the best possible situation as a believer with regard to the afterlife. And of course, there is those things that accompany salvation. And that's phase two, and the application of doctrine and the growth under doctrine, qualifying believers for the for the crown and daily production of SG3. All this you've learned in Bible class over the years. You've learned that if you stay in fellowship under all variety of situations, that no matter what you suffer, endure, or whatever applications you make, you're building up your eternal rewards account. And that's not some small thing. People understand in the human realm, from their limited viewpoint, they understand the value of the accumulation of wealth. To them, that's a real big deal. Some of them are so stupid, it isn't even funny. Look, fellow, you're 80 years old, and you're still wanting to invest and make another billion. It's insane. And completely blow off all the spiritual side of things. Unbelievable. Now, I don't know about all of them, if some of them aren't believers, actually. But probably not. Not because I have anything against rich people, per se, except corrupt ones, evil ones, that aren't content with being rich. They want to rule the world. Anyway, the typological approach, there's a couple examples in Scripture of something that happened in the Old Testament. Typological means it's a type. It's a teaching aid thing. An event occurred. A type can be anything from a person to an event. All the animal sacrifices were types of the future work of Jesus Christ. He sums them all up. All the different animal sacrifices prescribed under the law, all these kind of things, Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all that elaborate typological thing you read in Ecclesiastes and elsewhere. Joseph in Egypt, going from the bottom to the top, is another type of Christ. Rejected by his brethren. Jesus rejected by the Jews. First Advent. Had all the credentials. There wasn't one thing they could point to and say, you're in violation, you don't have this going for you from the Old Testament. From the place of your birth, to the timing of your birth, to your genealogical line, you're in the line of David. Anybody outside that? Nah. No good. He had all the credentials. Everything was covered to a T. And they turned on him. It's the amazing thing. To this day, Jews in Israel who believe the Old Testament is the Word of God, who try to cite it in certain instances and sometimes accurately, they miss this whole thing about a suffering Messiah. It's in Daniel. It's Isaiah 53. What are you doing with that one? They throw that all out and they're running around over there saying the Messiah is coming. And the deal with Russia is the Gog and Magog event. No, it isn't. The only thing it has in common with the Gog and Magog event is that Russia will be the leader of that coalition of nations that will come to attack Israel as punishment for Israel signing a treaty with the Antichrist. You made a covenant with death. You didn't trust me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to scare your pants off. I'm going to let Russia and Iran and the rest of them come in there this overwhelming invasion. And then the Lord takes them out with fire out of heaven. That's right after they signed this treaty and put this, I don't know what the correct modern technological name for this image of Alexander, but it moves, it talks, it walks, computerized, this and that. It's not a living human being, doesn't have a soul. And they will put that up in the Trib Temple at the midpoint, have a big celebration. And there'll be, ironically, they'll make the leadership of Israel will make a covenant with a Gentile who claims to be Christ and God. They will make a covenant with him for 7 years. What's this covenant? You worship me, you set this up, and I'll protect you because I've been successful for 3.5 years overcoming everything that came against me. And that's the punishment that God made. But in that Israel 365 news, certain of the Jews, you remember the rabbis are all, there's some that are liberal, screaming, it's God's will for you to take the vaccine. And then there's the conservative ones that are saying, you're involved in idolatry if you do it. You can read it in there. Now, but they talk about the Messiah coming, and I go, well, who is he? Give me a hint. Who is he? And where is he coming from? Well, I don't spell that out. Because they are blind to who and what Jesus Christ is. The true Jewish Messiah. The true coming one. They're completely blind to it. They're friendly with the conservative Christians because they support Israel. So they're not bad mouthing only Christians that are stupid and liberal that are pro Palestinian. They'll do that with anybody that's calling for a Palestinian state, and that Israel is apartheid and all this other stuff. And one of our she's a government official from the United States, was down in Houston saying that they're locking up, the Jews are locking up Palestinian children in cages. Well, they came down on her real hard. Prove it. What's your evidence for saying something like that? See, that's just the nonsense that's out there. So yeah, Russia isn't up. These are the last days. Sometimes I want to tell people things that ever heard it, but I can't make up for thousands and thousands of hours of Bible class. Now, can I? The information is available. If you're having trouble accessing anything or want a particular doctrine, see one of us. We'll try to help you out on that. Because thing I wanted to give you here is, turn to Daniel 7. We're going to, just because I realize that when all this gels, specific things that we can't foresee have to fall into place. I'll illustrate it from this passage. I will identify the beasts of this vision. Daniel, see, notice here, he's professional. He tells you, see, he was in the court of Nebuchadnezzar. He was involved with things. And he says that was in the first year of Belshazzar. That's the last and worst king and ruler of the kingdom of Babylon. King of Babylon. And he talks in the third person. And yet he's the one who wrote the book and had the experience. He doesn't say, I saw. He said, Daniel saw a dream and visions, that's verse 1, in his mind as he lay on his bed. Then he wrote the dream down and related the following summary of it. Daniel said, I was looking in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. Now I presume here that the four winds of heaven churning up the Great Sea refers to the Mediterranean Sea, not the oceans in general. The Great Sea. I'm assuming that it is the Med. And four great beasts were coming up from the sea, different from one another. This is what he sees. One pops up out of the water, the other one. Now, the churning waters are symbolic too. The churning waters of the ocean represent the turmoil and unrest and things going on in the world at any time. Sometimes it's more noticeable than others. The first was like a lion. Now I ask myself, what animal, what country on earth uses the lion as its symbol? Great Britain. Great Britain. Maybe some others have and have it on their coat of arms and in various things. But Great Britain is noted. And notice here the specifics. Now in the ancient world among the pagans, they would have these statues of composite animals to indicate maximum power. A winged, four-footed creature as an illustration. Combining the powers of a powerful bird with a powerful four-legged animal. And of course, all through Britain, the lion, coat of arms, everywhere. On beer bottles, wherever. The first was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. Well, I wonder what nation uses the eagle. Well, we know who it is. The American bald eagle. So this lion has a pair of eagle wings on its back. Okay? Nothing like this in the natural world, but it fits with the political world. It fits perfectly. And I kept looking, indicates an elapse of time, until its wings were plucked, jerked off it. This is the destruction of the United States. Okay, let's back up. We declared our independence from Great Britain and had a war, the Revolutionary War. Declared our independence, but we never severed complete ties with our mother. Our mother. You think the 13 colonies were. They're related to the British system. I know people came here from all the nations over time, but the thing is, it was the United States on the eastern coast was colonized by the British. You getting this in high school now? Any of this? You learned any of this? It's amazing, the disconnect. Its wings were plucked up. Its wings were plucked. That is, the wings are jerked away from it. And that's the destruction of the United States in about the third year of the tribulation. And made to stand on 2 feet like a man. Lions run on 3-4 feet. But this is a political entity. It stands on its hind legs. Now the British lion is always displayed like this, usually, I don't say always, but it's displayed as standing on its hind legs, something unnatural completely to a lion. So it's standing on its hind legs. And he doesn't explain, made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A human mind was given to it. What are we to make of that? What are we to make of it? This beastly creature now becomes a good example of a human being, which suggests to me that in the tribulation and after the destruction of the United States, this is going to have a massive impact on the British population, and a lot of them are going to turn to the Lord. There's other evidence elsewhere, but this will have to do for now. A look, you know, this is a look into the future. And I don't pretend that I got every detail right on this. Because you've got to get to the event almost before you can see the full impact of it. But we get the outline of it. A pretty good outline. So the first beast is Great Britain, the United States destroyed, and in Jeremiah's prophecy, it refers to Great Britain. When the United States is destroyed, it says your mother will be greatly ashamed, humiliated. Who's our mother? Who's the mother nation to the United States? The British Empire. Way back in the day. And the founding of these colonies. Who'd we fight with twice? Britain. The Revolutionary War and the War of 1812, when they burned the Capitol down. Our mother burned the Capitol down. Anyway, that's why the United States was formed into a corporation. It's incorporated. Don't misunderstand me. It's still a nation. Divine institution number four, it's called a nation. Whatever form a nation takes, whatever kind of government it has, it's a nation. God raises up nations, it's in Jeremiah, and he brings nations down. He's the Lord of history. It's in Acts 2. Not chapter 2, but the book of Acts. This is the thing to keep in mind as you watch all this going on in the world. Jesus Christ is running human history and bringing it exactly down with nothing falling by the wayside, no mistakes. Everything's being done to advance the prophetic agenda. Okay, so that's the first one. And behold, another beast. A second one. Resembling a bear. A predator, a bear. Formidable animal. Who do you think in the world that represents? Russia, the Russian bear. It's been referred to in all kinds of literature and so forth as the Russian bear. That animal fits Russia. The picture of a bear was on one, I think it was a Time magazine, back in the day, with the Russia and a bear. One showing the connection between, one was I would call it a cartoon, but it was a political cartoon, yeah. Showing the relationship between the United States, the eagle, and the bear. They were in bed together smoking a cigarette. I'll just leave it at that. No, it's because without our support from the West, primarily the U.S., Soviet communism could never have arisen to power and murdered all those Russians. It's called Lend-Lease. Exim Export-Import Bank. Height of the Vietnam War, fighting communists, right? Chinese or Oriental communists. We're fighting communists. And what's going on? Our businessmen were over there. Ford Motor Company had a deal there. All these companies trading and transferring technology to the Soviet system that collapsed. And all the people that suffered and died, God has not forgotten. Their blood is still crying out from the ground for vengeance. They're not just when this thing could go, because communism wiped out all forms of churches, everything. Communism is turn everything on its head. Anti-family, anti-having friends even. Very corrupt. It was financed from the West. All the way through. And there's a whole three big volume type of a professor, his name is from Stanford University, his name was Sutton. Something about Western technology in the Soviet Union. That's not the exact title. It is a boring, detailed book of all of the... He went looking into the documentation for all of the financial and material transfer to the Soviet Union during that period of time. If we'd have just backed off, it would have collapsed of its own weight. We pumped it up while pretending to be in a cold war with an enemy. And we're financing it. Well, the bear, now the deals here, when we get down to this, and I know everyone, they get caught up in the moment, Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the two different positions as to what's going on there. The one you get in our media and then others who are saying there's more to this than meets the eye. But in any case, because Russia doesn't want Ukraine joining NATO. That's one thing. And apparently, the leader of Ukraine now, Zelensky, something like that, he's a... Putin says he's a neo-communist. A neo-Nazi, rather. And that he's oppressing people of Russian descent and everything that's in these countries, and he's going to put a stop to it. But we'll see. On another note, if you'd like it, I'll send it to you. Putin made a speech before a bunch of Russian assembly. It's in Russian, but they put the English underneath. In a nutshell, he is saying the following. The West, the Western states, which would include Europe and the United States. He said their societies were built on following Christian principles. They're throwing these things all aside. They are morally bankrupt. Example, honoring one gender families. Just one example. He said, we don't do that over here. We're for marriage and procreation. And we're for nationalism. Therefore, a one world government. We're not. So take that for what it's worth. He's saying the right thing. The West is morally bankrupt. And I will add, it's also largely financially bankrupt. Trillions of dollars in debt. Trillions. Who gets that far down in the hole with this fiat money? The West. With its funny money. So he was pointing these things out. He said, we don't need you. Throw all the sanctions you want at us. It's kind of funny to see someone defy these so-and-sos. It really is. It's kind of refreshing. Somebody told me at break that his mother, Putin's, is Jewish. What kind of a twist? The Jews, you know, who knows? But this bear rises up on one side. You reading along with me? And three ribs were in its mouth. Three ribs in its mouth. These apparently are ribs that are all stripped of the meat that's on them. They're just naked bones. And there's three of them. What is that? I don't know. I have guessed that it could be three countries that border Russia. Like Uzbekistan. I'm not saying it is. The stands. We'll call them the stands. So something's going to have to develop. And how are the three ribs are talking to the bear? This is Daniel's vision. He's just an obedient prophet. He has the vision. He knows it's of God. He has to write it down. And leave it for posterity to figure it out and see, work out the details. But you will notice, back again, all of these beasts come up and are seen in an end time scenario together at one time. These three ribs in its mouth, between its teeth. See, that means they're under its control. You got something in your mouth, between your teeth, it's under your control. And they said to it, the bear, get up and devour much flesh. In the past, I said that this bear We know bears hibernate. They go on an eating frenzy and then they go to sleep. And they sleep all winter. But when they get up, they are really hungry. Very hungry. Arise, devour much flesh. Now on this one, we identified from the prophecies that the power that destroys the United States with its arrows is a power out of the farthest regions of the north. Well, that doesn't fit anybody I know of but Russia would be capable of that. It isn't Korea, north. It's Russia. Russia is so advanced in its military development. God has greased their skids. They are so advanced in their weapon systems. It isn't even funny. And we're declining because we're all screwed up. We got tons of planes that won't work. We've got people that are getting out of the military. And they say the youth today that we have to pick from, they're pathetic. They're emotionally weaklings who the least amount of, drill sergeant stuff break down. And this one guy says, and they have weak bones. He calls them the Nintendo generation. They had their heads up their phones and their little gimmick stuff. They haven't been raised like other kids who were raised, to endure and to go through things. They're weak. And you want to make soldiers out of them? It wasn't all that awfully long ago in history that we were the unrivaled military power on the earth. It's changed. Now all we can do is talk. Threaten. We couldn't even handle a bunch of ragtag Afghani, whatever they are, over there in Afghanistan. But all this time, and now they're stronger than ever, and we all, the whole thing's a fiasco. We could have won in Vietnam if we were given the chance to. But you can't go past this line. All this mess was a history of us declining as a military power in the world. So that is the arise, devour much flesh category. What better way to do it than an all-out blitz of thermonuclear weapons? We used to call them MIRVed, multiple warheads off of one missile going different directions, taking out whole cities just like that. Boom! They don't even want to hit them. That's the rider on the red horse in your book of Revelation. So what is going to compel the bear to do the unthinkable? Because you have to know that people that launch a nuclear war have to understand that there's going to be blowback. It doesn't just stay in this country like your typical weapon. It's going to suck all that radioactive material into the atmosphere and spread it all over the earth. That's the rider on the fourth horse. And more are killed on the fourth horse than all the rest of them. The fourth horse. I guess you know that there are seven seal judgments that Jesus Christ pops the seal on in heaven and the immediate effect occurs on earth. So when we're up there with him, he's not going to just pop all seven seals like that. You pop one, let it run its course. You pop the second, let it run its course. And the first six cover the first half of the tribulation. Sevens for the second half. Number seven. It's like, you thought the first half was bad? Wait till you see the second half. You're thinking, can you top that? Anyway. But the horses are all cause and effect. Cause and effect. That's why number Number five isn't a horse, and six and so forth. Not represented by a horse. White horse, red horse, black horse, and ashen horse. The ashen horse one is where so many people on earth will die. From radioactive poisoning. Because it doesn't stay in borders. It knows no borders. Because of the wind. But who controls the weather? And the wind? Yeah, they've said, since I was a little kid in school, nuclear war will destroy the whole earth. And there was movies about it. One submarine surviving or something. I don't know. Silly stuff. And we had, in Hot Springs, we had little drills in our school, in our grade school. You know what we had to do? They blow a thing, and you had to jump under your desk. What? We're kids. We don't know any better. We got to get under our desk. Because, you know, the roof might fall in, and we're under a desk. I don't know what it was. Nobody asked any questions. It's to get us all psychologically into this mindset of fear and all the rest of it. The only way for America out of its dilemma is to turn to the Lord, but it ain't going to happen. I would have healed Babylon, but she would not be healed. Turning to the Lord like the Assyrians of old did. But we're not going to do it. And even Putin can point out how absolutely corrupt, morally and otherwise, the West has become. And they're not perfect by any means. And coming from a Russian who was raised up in the Soviet system and transitioned through the oligarchs over to where he is now. Read your Bible. God raises up the basest men of the earth and puts them in positions. It's what he did with Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had to learn it, but it's what he did with him. And he was a strong man. I don't mean physically, I mean politically. Well, I know we'll throw in the last one. What part of the world do you think this one represents? Now notice they come up out of this, the wind's blowing and the water's going nuts. And then Daniel sees the fourth beast. Another considerable player in the tribulation. Excuse me. Number three. I want to skip that. There's four. Got ahead of myself. After this I kept looking, and behold, another one. Like a leopard. Okay. That's a predator. Feline predator. And if you go into the Asian world, you'll find their leopard. They're the leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. That means two and two. And the beast also had four heads. Now, I don't know which part of the Asian side of things. Certainly China is one of them. Probably Japan. Maybe Korea. The Koreas, south and north. But that's going to cover the Asian side of the equation. And they are players in the tribulation. There's so many of them, for one thing. And of course, China is communist. North Korea is communist. And dominion was given to it. That means a period of time it's given dominion before it's brought down and cut down to size. Of course, that's going to end up when the kings of the east invade Israel at the second advent. Now, after this, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrifying and extremely strong. And it had large iron teeth. This is not something from the animal kingdom, obviously, right? Not even a composite. This is unlike the animal kingdom. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet. And it was different from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. Now let's pause here. We're gonna flip back to ancient times. And the kingdoms that Daniel refers to earlier in this book, referring to these ancient kingdoms, and the last being the Roman Empire. You say, well, what's the Roman Empire? It's done and gone. That's right. But it gets a new life. It's called the revived Roman Empire of Western Europe. That would include Italy. That would include France, Spain, Germany, and so forth. And in the middles, in the vision of Nebuchadnezzar that Daniel interpreted, where he has this colossus of a person with a gold head, silver the chest, the midsection bronze, and then the legs iron, and so forth and so on. Those are the kingdoms. Nebuchadnezzar is the head of gold. The silver is the kingdom that followed him, Medo-Persia. The brass, bronze, is Greece of Alexander and followers. And then the other, the legs of iron. It's interesting, there's two legs. The Roman Empire finally split into two sections on its way down. And then we come to the feet. And it had 10 horns. Horns popping up. While I was contemplating the horns, behold, another horn, a little one, came up among them. Number 11. Following this close enough. And three of the horns were pulled out by the roots before it. And behold, this horn possessed eyes like the eyes of a man and mouth uttering great boasts. There's your Antichrist, who will head up a Western European confederation. And apparently along the way, he's going to have to slap three of them down. He's going to be a busy dude. He's going to come out of nowhere and galvanize Western, weak sister, messed up Europe. I went over today. I cut off early the first session because I was following this up here that's 5 minutes, an hour and 5 minutes fast. All right, we'll let you go. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.